Welcome to Theology Thursday, an ecumenical space for students to discuss matters of faith and theology.
I'm your host, Connor Grubbs.
I am your co-host, Ryan Mock.
And I'm your co-co-host, Johnny Grubbs.
We're here. This is our first time. Not only do we have the lighting, but we actually have the nice little tripod. We have the camera. This is our first time shooting with this camera.
If you're listening on just audio, you're really missing out on the full Theology Thursday experience.
Yeah, this is like we're leveling up every week. I think there's been some noticeable improvement even just the past couple
weeks. We got enough XP. We leveled up. Now we have,
And you know why we leveled up? It is thanks to our patrons.
So
Ryan's family.
Thank you, Ryan's mom.
And for a while they're not patrons anymore, but that's okay. There's like no obligation to give us money. That's like the fact that you would do that is very. We're grateful for that. We're just a bunch of idiots doing a thing, and you're like, oh, I like the thing and the idiots, so I'll support them.
I want to support the idiots,
and that means a lot to us. So zero obligation. So for those of you like Thomas and Jalen who supported us for a period of time, you're part of what made this possible, too, so thank you.
Yes.
And today, our main topic, we did this last month, we're going to do it again this month, is going to be one of the three books discussed in a Patreon-exclusive podcast called Reading Hour. This is where we discuss books that we've been reading. So we probably should have decided ahead of time which of those three books is going to be the main topic for today. I think it should be Ryan's.
You think it should be me? Why?
Yeah. I don't know. You didn't even tell me what your book was.
Yeah, I didn't.
What is it?
Oh, it's Critical Race Theory, An Introduction.
Oh, boy.
I mean, I'd pay for that.
Mine's definitely the most boring and least controversial. So let's we'll do mine for the main topic.
Right, yeah, because the people who pay, deserve juicier stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they get it, too. There's some things on our after show and on our reading hours that, you know, if you really want to get into the nitty-gritty of it, there's some bonus content that we make there for those who do choose to support us. So you can enter in at $3 a month, which is just the after show, $6 a month, which is the after show, and the Reading Hour podcast, which so far, I mean, both of those tiers are kind of entry level. It's less than like a Netflix or a Hulu subscription, so try and keep it pretty reasonable. Then the highest tier is $12 a month. And you're going to get merch, like shirts, mugs, just all sorts of random merch. Just kind of shipped to your door on a quarterly basis.
Stickers with Connor's face on it.
We could look into that. It might be worth it. That's all available. But if you choose not to do that, that's fine. We're glad you even take the time to listen and or watch. One thing this week that the main episode gets that's exclusive to the main episode is, of course, our subpoints. On Reading Hour for our patrons, they don't get a subpoint. But right now, this is for you. If you're listening or watching to this main episode on the main channel, main podcast feed, we got subpoints. Ryan, what's the subpoint? It better be good.
I don't know. Kanye West.
Ah. That's a good subpoint.
Again,
he released an album. Was it yesterday or the day before?
I think it was yesterday, but it may have been the day before.
Okay, yeah. It's called Donda.
I didn't listen to it till yesterday.
Okay, so you listened to it?
I did, yeah.
Okay, because I listened to it also.
I have not listened to it. I didn't even know he dropped one.
Yeah. Have you heard Jesus is King, his first album?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
It was apparently Donda was supposed to release, like, I don't know, like a few weeks ago.
Well, he did a lie much. But yeah, go ahead with this.
I think in Donda, it's not as explicit. There are songs that are explicit, like Jesus Lord. That's a very explicit song about his faith or whatnot. But most of the album, most of the songs, I think, are not as explicit as Jesus is King, his earlier album.
Yeah, he's got some songs that are just about life and stuff. What I thought was interesting, too, is apparently around the recording of Jesus is King, he made a big deal about not cussing.
Yeah.
Even in the studio. Like, it wasn't just like that was a rule, you can't cuss on the songs. even just being in his studio or his like business, like it wasn't allowed.
Yeah.
And there was one guy who actually got fired over it, and he was like talking about, and he's like, Kanye's gone crazy. I just said a cuss word and he fired me. I've been working for this guy for, you know, however many years. So he was being like super strict about that, right? And on this album, there is cussing, but it's censored.
Yeah, I noticed that. So I don't know if like they actually said the words, but there's something up with that.
Well, so here's what I noticed is there is a lot of like F's and S's just sprinkled throughout the album, but they don't actually say them, right? It's just silent, so they censored out.
Like a radio edit.
And yeah, no, it literally is radio edit. But what's interesting that you don't normally see with most secular rap albums is that this is the album. It's not a separate radio edit. This is what you get. And another thing I noted, and I could be wrong, maybe I missed it somewhere, but I'm pretty sure every time there's cussing that ends up being bleeped out, it's actually one of the other rappers. It's not Kanye.
Yeah.
It's one of his features. I think he does. So I thought that was kind of interesting because I've thought about, I wondered, is he going to stick with that very strictly or not? Doesn't matter. You know, like, I mean, Justin Bieber had that EP he released on Easter. That was a Christian EP and it had some language on it. So like what, how do you handle that? Now, I think it's an interesting dynamic, especially with the features, like the guests that he had on it.
Yeah.
That, like, if that's how they talk and he just wants to censor it, I don't know. Like, that's kind of collaborating with those artists. Like, they haven't made a commitment to that.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I don't really have an opinion one way or the other on that particular issue. It doesn't really matter to me, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
Before you said all that about the fact that, like, he has, like, the album, it is weird that the album itself is censored versus like, because like I listen to censored versions, but you have to look up like clean or something like that to get the clean version of an album, right? But like you're saying that it's just the way
that is the album.
One album,
but you know what they'd be saying, it's just silent at those parts.
At first I was gonna say, oh there's cussing on this album, maybe it was like a weird artistic thing, like he's doing an album called Jesus is King and we're not gonna cuss on this album, but now that he's not cussing, I'm like, well, maybe he still doesn't cuss. I mean,
right.
Yes, he is, you know.
It sounds like he's setting a precedent here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. What other thoughts did you have about the album?
So, it's super long.
Yeah.
Much longer than Jesus King. I think it clocks in like at an hour and 49 minutes.
Yeah.
I listened to it at work. I was delivering pizzas, and I started the album on my first delivery, and I didn't finish the album until I got home after work. So it was a super long album, and there's a lot of weirdness in it.
Yeah.
Like just listening to like the intro track made me really uncomfortable.
Yeah,
like,
it's just
like,
somebody
Donda
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 Donda Donda Donda. Yeah, it was so weird.
Really weird.
And I get that, you know, like
what does Donda mean?
It's his mom.
Oh.
Yeah.
What I can't speak on is the lyrics, because in order for me to talk about the lyrics, I'd have to listen to it more and like read the lyrics, because I'm not good at listening to songs like for the first time and taking in the lyrics or whatnot. So I can't really speak to that. But I mean, musically, it was interesting. You know, some of it was experimental, and I get the artistic aspect of that. But some of it was really weird. Some of it was good. So those are my thoughts as a non-musical expert.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that level of freedom of just like, I may lose my shirt. Not really lose my shirt, but it's like, I may bleed some money if I make this album weird, but I don't really care.
Yeah.
You know, like,
no, that's definitely Kanye's MO. That's always been his MO, though. It's just doing just weird stuff. Like, what was the Poopity Scoop song that he did?
Scoopity Poop.
Have you've seen that, right?
No,
he has one song on his album where like they're singing the whole time. It's and I actually even remember, I forget what the song is. I'll have to find it later and show it to you. And then at the very end, it goes into a part where he's supposed to be rapping, and he just goes scoopity poop, scoopity doopity poop, and he just does that for like 2 minutes straight.
Yeah, that's weird.
And I mean, but
driving down the road listening to that with the windows down.
Yeah, the subs like
yeah. I've done it before. But I liked Jesus is King better. Like I actually really enjoyed some of the songs on that album. There are a couple songs on this album that I liked, but overall I was just kind of like, eh.
Yeah.
It's funny to me how he loves to brag about being the greatest musician and the greatest artist. Not just musician, but artist of all time.
Yeah, and it's like, he's okay.
Yeah.
If Kanye is the greatest artist of all time, we have a problem in the arts.
Yeah. No, it's
Donda.
Is interesting Donda. Because...
Donda.
Ooh. It's interesting because... you know, some of the songs on the album do refer to his divorce with Kim Kardashian, and, you know, a lot of that sprung out of him during his presidential campaign. I couldn't not laugh. It's just funny that this is actually...
It's a part of American history.
He was at a rally and he was talking about, you know, his pro-life stance, and he mentioned, you know, the fact that they almost, and I think he even said that he was the one who wanted to abort their baby and they ended up keeping it, and he's very glad that they did. But he mentioned, you know, Kim Kardashian in that story, and she was there and she was very embarrassed by it and upset by it. And, you know, not shortly after that, you know, we heard that they got a divorce. So I don't know if a lot of that had to do with him being, you know, so explicit about his faith or his, you know, political
running
stuff.
For president.
But they're not together anymore. And a lot of the album seems to have to do with that. And then, of course, his relationship with his mom, who it's named after.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see where young Kanye goes. By the way, just a fun fact, he is legally changing his name to Ye.
Really?
He's taking the K-A-N out. It's just going to be
Do you think people are going to respect that decision or still call him Kanye?
I don't know.
What do you think, Johnny?
I don't know. I don't think I could... see myself.
So if Kanye walked up to you right now,
I would respect him if like I was like physically with him, but since like I don't interact with him on
so behind his back, how would you address him?
Well, I don't think I could call him Ye. Hey, have you heard Ye's new album?
yeah
man, Ye. It's just weird. I just call him Kanye because we all know what that means.
Yeah, me and him, you know, we're close, and so
but his preferred
fine.
Pronouns are Ye Easy. Alrighty, so here we go with Theology Thursday Reading Hour, an ecumenical space for students to read stuff and talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy. So this first book I'm going to share, and then and that'll be available to everyone. And then if you want to get into the other two books, you're going to have to subscribe on Patreon at least tier two. Okay, so... here we go.
So what book did Connor read? What did you read, Connor?
Okay, thank you for rephrasing that. This is like a kindergarten class. What book did Connor read this week?
Tell us about the book. Show it. Did you bring it? You show and tell? If you got a book, did it have cool pictures in it?
No pictures in this book.
I can't read that book.
It's a short book.
Okay, cool. It's short.
It's
like 5 pages, 6, 7.
It's like 130 pages.
130? That's not short.
That is short.
Yeah, because it's got big print, too.
Oh, okay.
It's
cool.
It's a short read, but it's a good read, and I'll talk about it, and we'll talk about it. Okay, this is a book called The Reset. Okay, and it was written by a man named Jeremy Riddle. You may have heard his name before. You may have seen his name on
the Riddler.
Riddle.
Okay. I know about the Riddler.
Stop. This is going to be impossible. I actually don't have a lot to say, so maybe this will help stretch the episode out. Jeremy Riddle is a former worship leader with Bethel. Okay. So he was with Bethel, and people know Bethel's done some weird stuff.
Did they fight and break up?
Laying across graves and doing all sorts of stuff, you know? And then a lot of people would just kind of criticize the Bethel, Hillsong, Passion kind of celebrity worship culture as a whole. And I think some of the music that's come out of it is absolutely fantastic. Jeremy Riddle's actually written a few songs that I really like. Like some contemporary songs like All Hail King Jesus, and Be Enthroned. There's a few like really good ones that he's written. And so, but yeah, he was part of that scene, right?
Yeah.
And the past few years, he has made a little bit of a transition. Mm. Okay. He's gone back to his home church, the church he grew up in, to be the creative arts worship guy. Smaller church. So he kind of left the Bethel scene, went back to that, and he started a nonprofit. Let me make sure I get the name of the nonprofit right. But part of his whole ministry that he started is about discipling worship leaders. Mm-hmm. And
that's something that you like.
Yeah, I like. I'm a worship leader. I disciple young worship leaders. And that's a big part of why this book
You need to connect with Jeremy Riddler.
That's what it is. It's called Wholehearted. That's the name of his ministry. And so this book was part of the resources that he was releasing under Wholehearted. His idea was to do workshops, conferences, coaching, that kind of thing, to release books like this. So this was kind of the first one, kind of summarizing the whole mission of it. And I'll say a couple things that I really appreciate about what he's doing is all of his work with Wholehearted, he tries to offer for free as much as possible. So, like, you can buy the book, but on Amazon and some of these places, it's sold at cost. He's not making anything off of it. It's literally just printing publishing cost. And he has a free version of it online that you can read. So this book wasn't like a cash grab for him. Mm-hmm. And even with his coaching and a lot of the stuff that he's doing through Wholehearted, it's very much just he wants to help people. So that I already respect and appreciate. But what about the content of the book? What's the point of the book? That's what we're here to talk about, right?
Tell us, Connor.
I just think that context is important.
Yeah.
Context is key.
Yeah. In life.
In everything.
In everything.
Jesus is king.
Yeah.
And context is key.
Amen.
Kanye is...
Yay.
The Reset is about returning to the heart of worship, and I can't help but think of the Matt Redman song.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship.
Yep. So
I love that song back in the day.
You don't love
song.
It anymore?
No, I still love it.
It's a great song.
It's a great song, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, look, here's his point. This is he's respectful about it. He's not going in guns blazing. He's very gentle and compassionate about it. But this is pretty much a reprimand of celebrity worship culture. That's the point of this book. It's saying, like, what this has become about selling records and tours and concerts is so wrong. Like, that's not what worship is. And basically just going through some, like, character disciplines and some things about, like, what's the point of worship and what should our goals be, you know, like, and I essentially see this, like, it's a book that I'm like, I'm going to snatch up as many copies as I can and use it with young worship leaders that I'm discipling. Because when I think about, like, high school, early college students that I'm pouring into that want to be worship leaders, this is a great conversation starter. Okay, but why? Is it because you want to be on stage? Because you want to be in front of people? Or is it because, you know, you have a talent as a musician or a singer or whatever, and you want to use that to edify the church? Because there's a difference. And look, church music, and he even has in his first couple chapters, he talks about the history of worship. It has a rich history, and I think that music is very important. We did an episode, What is Worship? And we sang a couple songs in that one too.
We did.
Yeah, we did. And I thought that was that's an important episode for me, because that was actually kind of came out of some sermon notes that I use when I talk about, the point of worship. And so, and specifically the point of music in worship. So I think music is important, in the life of the church and the life of the believer. And I think even Johnny, you know, with your spiritual formation stuff that you like to use, like, music is a part of that, right? And you recognize
yes.
that as a part of drawing closer to God. Yes. It's something that connects with us on a spiritual level in a way that nothing else can. So it matters, but what's our motivation in doing it? And if it has anything to do with celebrity, then we need to take a step back.
Ooh.
And that's pretty much the point of his book. I mean, I just really appreciate it, especially coming from somebody like him. Like, there was one young lady that I gave this book to, and when I told her about it, I was like, yeah, because she was really excited. She's like, ah, God wants me to be a worship leader. She's getting out of high school. And I was like, yeah, and this book is written by Jeremy Riddle. And she's like, ah, Jeremy Riddle? And I'm like, ah. But I think it's good for students like that who maybe have kind of idolized the celebrity worship culture to hear it from somebody who's come out of that, you know? So I really, I appreciate him writing this book, because I could have written this book, but nobody would have cared what I had to say.
Right. That is correct.
And it coming from him... And it coming from him, I think, matters. It's significant. Just because more people will be open to hearing it.
I say two things.
Only two things.
Okay. One.
If you say a third thing, I'm going to have to punch you in the face.
One, I think that is probably one of the most important things across the board, really. Like, I mean, but... In this culture as well of celebrity worship, with celebrity pastoring and everything like that, like, we don't think about character and, sorry, inward spiritual formation, right? Like, what it means to become like Christ, right? So I think that that's really cool that he's doing that and kind of saying, hey, unless you get this part, you know, like, it's going to crumble and none of it really matters. The other side of that coin is that, even though I think it's wrong to pursue that celebrity stuff without, especially without the undergirding mm-hmm. of character, right?
Yeah.
Discipleship, like he speaks to in the book. I would also say that it doesn't mean that you can never sing a Bethel song. And I think you would agree with that.
No. And I mean, this guy, he's still writing and recording music. He still does concerts,
right.
You know? And
yeah.
So I think that is an important caveat. And that's why I said he does it with respect and gentleness, I think. Because he says that none of those things in and of themselves are inherently wrong.
Right.
But if that's the goal, if that's the end game, if that's what we're pursuing, then it is wrong. But basically, if you're doing these things, maybe you do end up recording an album. Maybe it does end up becoming a hit. Maybe it reaches lots of people. Great. But that's not the purpose, right?
Right. Yeah. I think of the Psalms, you know, David... like made a lot of mistakes. It didn't negate the Psalms themselves, right?
Yeah.
And so it's interesting that God can use this. And I think of the story of Samson as well, in this tragedy, that we can be used by God without really working with him, if that makes any sense. You know, like in the end, Samson accomplished his purpose, but he did it constantly moving against the grain of what God would have inspired in him in terms of character. And all that kind of stuff, right? God worked in spite of him instead of the partnership that we see, you know, in people like Moses and other significant people in the Bible. So it's a tragedy when you don't have that character. It doesn't mean that the content that remains isn't of God. So it's this balance. But what would be great, what the end goal would be, what Jeremy Riddle is talking about, is that you have character. And then you produce great songs, and then both come together. Then that's partnership.
That's how you get to the heart of worship, like the song.
Where it's all about.
Okay. So yeah, it's great, and I think that kind of, you know, you're addressing a question that comes up a lot. We've never been asked on the podcast, but I'll go ahead and answer it now. Can you sing songs in church that were written by, you know, institutions or people who are maybe a little theologically wacko or unorthodox or whatever? And I would say, yeah, if the song itself is good, as I think that's a song-by-song basis sort of thing.
The Bible seems to indicate yes.
There are actually a lot of classic hymns, one of them being Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, that we sing and we have no problem singing. Oh, because it's old, because it's a hymn. That guy recanted his faith before he died. I mean...
It is well with my soul as well. Horatio mm-hmm. Spafford, he went on and did weird things.
And those are two of, like, the most iconic hymns, like, ever. Like, those are amongst, like, some of the most well-known, and we sing them all the time. So I think it's a mistake to take each song-by-song basis. Bethel, Hillsong, they both actually have some really theologically rich, deep, like, great songs. And they have some that are, you know. I just think it's, yeah, definitely don't throw it all out. Elevation. I was talking to this about this with my pastor the other day. We were pulling up, like, the lyrics, and you have, like, the little CCLI number in the corner. And he was like, does that say Stephen Furtick? And I'm like, yeah, all of the Elevation songs were primarily written by Stephen Furtick. He's got a couple other people that write it with him. I said, and he was a worship leader before he was a pastor. He actually has a great singing voice. He probably should have stuck with that. But no, we were just like, it's bizarre because it's like when he's preaching, he has terrible theology. But when he starts singing, his theology all of a sudden becomes really good.
Maybe he should just sing preach.
Just sing all of his sermons.
A new genre of preaching.
Yeah. Look, you have
this
an opportunity
is the word
to be
of
on
the Lord. Hear ye.
You don't do that.
No, sorry.
You would not be a good singer.
Yeah.
Preacher.
Yeah.
Wow.
I also don't think Stephen Furtick would say "Hear ye." By the way, there's a Facebook group, okay, called "What the Furtick," and it's just people posting like weird quotes that weird things that Furtick said in his sermons. It's really entertaining. Like him coming out on stage and being like, I am God. It's a little concerning. But he writes some great songs.
Did he ever clarify why he said such a thing?
Sort of. So, for those of you listening on the main episode, thank you for joining us for this discussion. If you want to continue the discussion, again, that's going to be a Patreon exclusive starting at tier number 2, $6 a month. If you'd like to continue supporting us, that's a way you can do that. And we're going to talk about, and just to give you a little tease, we're going to talk about Introduction to Critical Race Theory.
Mm-hmm.
Whew, and
Inspired by Rachel Held Evans. You're not going to want to miss this.
Ooh, so there's some stuff that we're going to be talking about. This was just, hey, worship leader guy says we should be better people.
That's
but
a good
this
message.
Stuff is, we're going to get
little
a little
wackadoo.
Deep. Getting get a little, some heresy, some what? CRT. You know, what's the difference, right? So it's going to be a great... It's a joke. It's going to be a great conversation. I hope you choose to join us. If not, God bless you, and we'll see you next week on Theology Thursday.